Rear Window, that trombone shot though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Is that the Val Morgan sound?
No, this
can we talk? Can we talk about what you were talking about before? How you and your mates used to get real mentally ready, and then watch and right when the Val Morgan thing came out, you couldn't figure out what the line was at the end of the Val Morgan sentence.
Let's take a couple of steps backwards. Please. When you went to
tell the story, it's your story. Well, that's what I'm
When you went to the cinema back in the day, and you get all the previews and stuff like that, there'd also be like a. I'm pretty sure it was a Val Morgan like a cinema. You know, brought to you by a Val Morgan thing.
Yeah. I've got the Val Morgan pre-show thing here, but I don't know if it's going to be.
But we could never make out. We were always like walked in a cloud of smoke and could never make out what.
That's not it, eh?
Right. Deeper, yeah.
That
deeper
looks
engagement.
Pirated. That looks
deeper
pirated.
Engagement.
You know that?
Yeah. Wait. Highly effective.
I think as soon as you're putting up the text, highly effective on the screen, you lost the battle, eh?
Cinema advertising delivers all. Yeah, Val Morgan pre-show.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty recent one. I think that's within the last sort of 4 or 5 years. But you have really lost the battle, I think, when you're advertising
how
the effectiveness of your advertising to the people that are sitting there being advertised to.
It's true. So just KFC and stuff like
but
that.
But we were sure.
It's worth mentioning that text that John was reading was coming screaming right out of a massive synthetic pupil,
we
which
were
is quite cool.
Always sure back in the day that there was some audio attached to the very end of the pre-show. Val Morgan
maybe too many tangy fruits maybe
go, always there. Always there.
Fucking hell, that's a bit much actually.
Anyway, Steve, welcome
I'm not sure that's technically accurate, is it though? Because I mean by its very nature an ad in the cinema is quite time specific.
Always there. Now Steve, welcome to the BFM studio.
Val Morgan, always there.
I'm always here.
Don't say it three times.
Ooh, Val Morgan will appear.
Ooh, we got a netball update. We better hurry up with this Flicks and That. Come on,
this week a couple of sequels came out, and one of them I've seen and one of them I haven't. There's a sequel to Pixar's The Incredibles. It's called The Incredibles 2.
Oh, look, that I watched the back of buses and it just looks pretty boring.
That I haven't seen. I mean, The Incredibles is pretty good, and its director Brad Bird is a bit of an animation maestro who made he's made some live action action films as well. He did a Mission Impossible film. That's pretty awesome, and our writer would have us believe it's a return to form.
I was looking at the picture of the back of the bus, and I think the problem is all the superpowers that people have. There's only one person with actually a visible kind of superpower if you're just standing there in a picture.
Yeah, that's hard.
So
on
it kind of looked,
they
look just like normal people cruising around in tights a little bit.
Also, I think there is a bit of superhero fatigue. As well, you know.
Like the mum could have been bending. She can stretch, right? She should have been stretching around or something cool in there.
We're really kind of going inside baseball on the ads, aren't we, today? should have been a proper like wraparound on the bus, though. Like, not just on the bus back.
Steve, I've seen a sort of vague outline of the movies that are lined up for the rest of the year outside of the film festival, and it seems like there's quite a lot of horror heading our way. Would you say this is a true statement?
It's a bit of horror, I think. I mean, typically it kind of bypasses cinemas here. I mean, Hereditary came with a hiss and a roar, but I think the studio is probably a little bit disappointed with how much money it made, considering like the ratio of kind of like hype and hoopla of these films compared to how much they make is a bit.
Do people maybe not go out to horrors anymore because it's embarrassing?
I reckon it's because the audience might be one of the louder like genre fan groups out there, right? Okay. Like there'll be a lot of noise on social media.
You like loud chewing.
But
it's like horror noisy, and loud
noisy
chewing.
Breathing.
Yep, they go
noisy,
hand.
Obnoxious people go to horror. Breathing. Is what
you're saying. Well, I was thinking more in the social media context, actually. But maybe there's a disproportionate view, you know, that it seems like there's a lot of interest, and then people don't get off freaking chuffs and vote with their ticket money, just wait to download it and kind of screw the whole thing up.
System. Industry, Okay.
But anyway, that's be that as it may.
Now, where were we taking this?
Oh yeah, we're taking this to Sequel Town. I have seen the Sicario sequel, which is called Sicario: Day of the Soldado.
Well, tell me about Sicario because I don't know anything about
Sicario
it.
Sicario stars Emily Blunt. What's that?
I've been saying it wrong. You said it differently to me, which is probably right.
Do you say it with an authentic accent? So maybe say it correctly.
I have way more A in mind.
Like A, yeah. Sicario. Sicario.
Yeah, I hang on that a bit. But let's not dwell on how I say things.
I mean, we could all put on offensively racist accents and try and do it.
Well, it is a film review, not a, big angry pronunciation review.
I was just trying to relate to what you guys are talking about a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, so the first one of those, it was a Denis Villeneuve film. It was a really awesome thriller. Starred Emily Blunt. She was like a rookie kind of federal agent who teams up to take out some drug cartel type dudes.
This sounds good already.
Yeah, it's really good. But the sequels got me thinking about why sequels do and don't work. Because it's like a relatively enjoyable film, but it focuses on a couple of characters from the first film that are just sort of dyed-in-the-wool, world-weary badasses. And there's sort of no light character to offset them with, you know, innocence or a fresh pair of eyes. So it's really hard to create. It's like writing a song, but going, like, oh, we just actually won't bother having any dynamics in this whatsoever. And what's more, our song will go for an hour and a half.
Okay, so Die Hard 2.
Do you reckon every sequel is kind of thought about? Like, do you think sometimes it's a movie? Like, I feel like that's kind of a conundrum. If you're trying to do a sequel, you need to make sure in the first movie there's some kind of door left open, or do you think that's important at all? Or you can just take a sequel?
No, I think it's a real problem when, like, if you deliberately leave a door open in your story, it's not a self-contained story, right?
Yeah.
And some of my favourite sequels are ones that...
You think they're pre-planned, like when the first one's been written, or you think it's off the back of the success?
I think, in this case of Sicario, both the first and second films are written by the same guy, Taylor Sheridan. He's a really good screenwriter. I don't think there's really... Like, while there might be some open-ended questions you walk out of films with, I don't think they're necessarily left there as doors, unless it's a studio that is deliberately trying to set up a franchise and make buttloads of money, like the terrible DC Comics films, which really, like...
Oh, man, they're going big, going,
you know,
to town.
I think as soon as you start strategizing too much about what step 3 and 4 in the process is, you're going to trip up on the first one.
This is off topic, but why have all the DC films sucked so bad?
Ant-Man, is that DC?
No, it's a Marvel one. It's a Marvel one. I think that...
No, thanks.
I reckon that they've just gotten too carried away with... making a really hyper successful series and forgotten that you make one really good movie at a time.
Okay. All right. Sage advice.
But so Sicario's kind of weird because it doesn't have the dynamic that a good sequel has. And as I was pondering this morning, I found myself watching the trailer for Predator 2. And went, oh, this is what a good sequel is.
Predator 2?
I think John and I were reminiscing
the new
today.
Predator 20 or whatever it is.
No, this was Predator 2 with Danny Glover and Gary Busey.
It's great.
And it's like, okay, so what DNA did they take? They didn't get the biggest thing from their first film, which was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so they had to sort of double down on the ideas.
But what do you do? You have a good think about how good Predator was, and you're like, oh, let's take it to the city, you know?
Let's take the big show to the city.
It was kind
He's
of
in
a
town
murder,
with a few days to kill.
It was a kind of a murder mystery to begin with. They're like, what's going on? Why are all these people dying? Well, Predator's in town killing everyone.
Don't ruin it, John.
Wow. It is called Predator 2.
Fair enough, actually.
It'd be if there wasn't a Predator in it, it'd be a bit sort of wrongful tradings.
Good
answer. Okay, so Predator 2.
Predators with the S on the end there is good. I reckon that was a good return to form of the Predator.
It was an improvement on
they
the
They get dumped
on, the preceding
on a dumb ones. On a planet, on a hunting planet, essentially, and then away you go.
But I think in general, you know, like, what are you trying to do with a sequel? It's either, like, in the sort of, in the 80s horror universes, it would just be like, let's churn another one out every year.
I mean, and Aliens, that was nuts.
Yeah, that's a real mean one. That's a great one. That's a great example of,
everyone just wanted more of that. It was just so far out.
Sets the template, right?
Yeah,
totally. Of, when you just raise the stakes and everything. Sometimes going bigger can help, like, I'm not an enormous fan of the entire Fast and Furious.
Toy Story 2 is good.
This, another thing that's quite cartoony is the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, they're what are they up to now? It's quite a lot. It's almost like the hit records. Yeah?
Pardon the pun, but I've kind of drifted off those a little bit. But I think they hit a high watermark with Fast 5. So it's kind of like for me, like in the middle of a franchise, for that to be the best one, it's kind of unusual.
Terminator 2 is
really good. I think the Mission Impossible films have gotten better as they go along. I think that's a case of figuring out what makes those films tick as they go and sort of focusing on the best elements. Sequels and that. Be really keen to hear what the listeners like revisiting. And if there's anything that's actually...
Worth sequeling?
Yeah, worth sequeling or... Yeah, I mean, New Zealand doesn't have a huge history of sequels, really, does it? There's Sione's Wedding 2. There's What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, the Once a Warrior sequel.
True.
The second Lord of the Rings film's probably the best of them, but does that count? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Yes,
Brain Dead 2?
I guess so. Brain Dead 2 would be great. Peter Jackson was going to make a sequel to Bad Taste for a number of years,
but it
sort of like seemed to just disappear into the ether. Maybe New Zealand films are too grim that they don't lend themselves to a sequel because they are off too many characters, etc.
That might be good for the Stolen Girlfriends Club $100 voucher for this weekend. A little spot shopping for somebody. Maybe text us in 5395 what you think deserves a sequel.
That's a good one.
Okay.
So, yeah, and just I think I'd be keen to hear the listeners' thoughts on just what good sequels are in general. What else have I got here? Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Friday the 13th, part 4 is a really good one.
Oh, that's part 4, though.
It's
right?
Not. It's Friday the 13th, colon, the final chapter.
I never subscribed to this whole franchise, this old Freddy and all that.
Scream 2,
never got into any of that, eh?
Have you seen the Nightmare on Elm Street? Oh, that one with old Freddy.
Old Freddy, mate. His old sweater. It's too close to home for us.
Because of the sweater.
I don't know. I'm just having a good time.
I thought it was more of the glove with Freddy that was kind of the annoying thing that got in.
Oh man, I watched Edward Scissorhands the other day. That rules. No sequel to that.
It's a bit of a tough one, eh, for a sequel. But hey, look, use your imaginations.
Beetlejuice.
Oh no, that's in the works apparently. Beetlejuice.
You excited about that, John?
Yeah. I actually,
Mars Attacks 2, maybe. Is that a thing?
What else? Anyway, Steve, should we wrap it up there? I mean, we had some other topics. We had best movies to best weed movies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think let's everyone sort of sit on that one for the next 7 days, and we'll
reconvene.
We'll canvass the audience next week.
Okay.
Agreed.
Bloody good.
It's Half Baked. Well, obviously, is the best weed movie.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.